My original title was, How Serious You Take Your Prayer Life, and I'll still stick with that. But I don't want to put a guilt trip on you, even though I know everybody needs to improve. There's no question about that. But I want to encourage you, exhort you, and instruct you. And I'm pretty sure it'll be more than one sermon. I really today would like to encourage you in prayer. Jesus Christ said in Luke 19:46, My house is the house of prayer. My house is the house of prayer. I hope and pray that this week, no matter where your prayer life is now, it will improve. I'm kind of like old Churchill. You know, Churchill was one of my heroes. And when he would give instructions, he'd always put a piece of red tape on there. Action today. Action today. So if I had some red tape I put on there, I want some action today out of everybody here in your prayer life. And I want to say this. I'm supposed to pray more than you do, even though you're a child of God. But I'm supposed to have more time to pray, and this church has freed my hands where I can. And you ought to want to have a praying preacher to even pray more. I am practicing when I preach on this. I've not arrived at all. When the deacons were ordained, and we got good deacons at Great Chapel who've done this very thing, to free the pastor's hand, it said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, we may give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. He's supposed to give himself continually to prayer, ministry of the word. And I'm trying to do that more than I ever have. Let me tell you kind of something about my prayer life a little bit. This is not bragging. In fact, I feel like John Paul Jones. You know, he said, I've not yet begun to fight. I want to say I have not yet begun to pray. That's my hope. I hope the rest of my life that I can improve in my prayer life. But here's what I do every day, just about. I may miss one every now and then. I don't miss many. I first pray all for our churches, for Christian people. And I use Isaiah 62, verses 1, and then skip down to 6 and 7 to do that. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, the salvation there of a lamp that burneth. I set watchmen upon thy walls, O Zion, which never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. Keep not silence till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. I can just say a watchman, he just won't shut up, and that's where I want to be. And then after I do that, I have been faithful for the last 2 years. I've always wanted to do this, but I've been very faithful the last 2 years to pray for our nation. So I get through praying for our churches and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, and intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, for those that are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. You ought to all be doing that, because that's a priority. If we knew what bad shape that we're in and what we're headed for, we'd be doing that. Also, I've been involved in a prayer meeting for a long time now, and I'm glad. I give Jimmy Barber the credit, who many years ago, 32 years probably, maybe more than that, I can document since 1987, we've had a group of men to pray every morning, every Tuesday morning. Sometime Monday, it's been Tuesday a long time. We meet at Bobby Polk's house now. Brother Bobby's not able to get out. All you men are welcome to come. I know some of you can't. It's awful early, 6:30 in the morning. We usually have four or five people. We have some great prayer meetings. But I'm glad we've been praying for revival for 32 years. I hope I die praying for revival. You know, God got a way of answering prayer even after you're gone. So you ought to all be praying, but I'm trying to do that. And then one thing that I want you to take more seriously, some of you do, some of you I know don't, and we always try to obey the prayer in church, obey the church in prayer every week. So I hope you really do that. I know some of you are just kind of getting, kind of just a habit, and you may or you may not. So if you're not doing it, I want to encourage you. In fact, I've got some cards, a little reminder, I won't pass them out, because really in our church newsletter now we have this prayer. And I want whoever, Kiefer, somebody, whoever give the last announcement to try to pray for Brother Jimmy Barber and the Church of Covenant up there in Oak Ridge this week, and we bathed them in prayer. Last week we bathed John Horner in prayer in Nacogdoches, Texas, and I told him, I said, John, we're going to brave you all in prayer this week. He said, well, God's already started answering. He said, I baptized my grandson this morning. So sometimes we have a pretty immediate answer, sometimes we don't. But I know it's the thing to do. So I hope you will take seriously that bathing and prayer. And then, of course, we have a day of fasting and prayer every month, at the first Wednesday of every month. And I don't know how much you take part in that. I hope you do that. If not, I hope you get with it. Because if you're serious about prayer, so I hope I may be stepping on some toes. If I am, it's okay. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. But you ought to be, seriously, I pray several hours every Wednesday, of every first Wednesday. I try to give myself to prayer. I'm able to do that. Some of you can't because of your circumstances, but you can do something anyway. And you can do some kind of fasting. I try to really fast. But I know God hears those prayers. And I had a great time in Nicaragua. I knew I couldn't speak Spanish. I speak a little bit now. I started telling Judy, she's my beautiful wife, I'm learning some, and she's my love, and stuff like that. I learned a few Spanish expressions. I'll tell you that, Matt, later on, what I'm saying to her. Mi bonita, for one thing. My little beauty. But anyway, in Nicaragua, I knew I couldn't speak Spanish. I said, God, I can talk to you. So I did. I spent over 30 hours in prayer that week. I'm not bragging. I agonized in prayer. And God gave me the spirit of grace and supplications. And great things happened. I had two verses that God put on my heart before we went. One of them was Psalm 81:10, open thy mouth wide, I'll fill it. And also Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, I'll answer thee. Show the great and mighty things that thou knowest not, and God answered those prayers. So I attempted preaching. I got to preach a little bit through an interpreter, through him and other interpreters, but he did the main preaching and talking. So I want to encourage you in prayer today. I want to encourage you, exhort you, and instruct you, even instruct you in prayer, because we can learn to pray. The disciples, even though they were prayer men, they still said in Luke 11, when they heard Jesus Christ pray, said, Lord, teach us to pray. And John taught his disciple, I hope you have enough humility that no matter how long you live, you'll always be in the school of prayer. We can always learn how to pray better. So what I want to do is encourage, exhort, and instruct. So I'll plead me in prayer about that. So let's just go some encouragement today, okay? You know, prayer is a blood-bought privilege. We have no idea what a blessing it is to be able to pray. It's an amazing blessing. Have permission and invitation to come to the throne of grace. You think about that. We have permission and invitation to come to the throne of grace. And that throne of grace is in heaven. What the throne of grace is, I'll read you in Hebrews 4 in a minute. The throne of grace is an allusion to the mercy seat. It's over the Ark of the Covenant. And the Holy of Holies, which Hebrews says represents heaven. And the Shekinah glory, which represents God's presence on that mercy seat. And you come there when you pray. That's what God said. I'll read it to you in a few minutes. Isn't that amazing? See, that can kind of, we need to be more serious about that. So let me read you of those scriptures, if you want to read these. I'm going to get some scriptures here I want to read to you. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and make a note of some of these scriptures. Make a note. I'll give you my notes if you want them, but make a note of some of these scriptures. Grab some of them anyway. I want everybody to do something this week. I want some improvement in prayer life. You know, prayer is an act of worship. You're worshiping God when you pray. You say, God, I believe you're the prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. I believe you're the only one that can answer prayer. I'm worshiping you when I come to you in prayer. I'm acknowledging my dependence on you. So it's an act of worship when we pray. And petition is not the only way to pray. When I get to instruction, I talk petition is not the only way to pray. There's lots of things you do besides petition. We usually come to God with petitions first. So let's go to the scriptures now and pay attention to these. I'm going to try to not go too fast today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Ready? Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Isn't that great to have a great high priest? That's Jesus Christ. And the high priest in the Old Testament carried the names of the children of Israel in two places. You remember that? He had them on his shoulders, six children of Israel, engraved in beautiful stones here and here. You know how they're on the shoulders? The shoulders, the place of strength. So when he came to the presence of God, of the holy place, which, of course, is Jesus Christ, the one who really the high priest, he's bearing the name to his children, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He might to save. But even sweeter than that, that's beautiful, guess wherever he carried those stones? On his heart. So when Jesus Christ come before God Almighty as our great high priest. He's bearing the names of all his children on his shoulders, the place of strength, on his heart, the place of affection, that he comes to God on our behalf. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. Sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we have lots of challenges. The way we hold our profession, hold fast our profession, remember who our high priest is. But we have not an high priest. What kind of high priest do we have anyway? Which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you like that? I love that word touched. I can say it 100 times and I get tired of it. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows you have infirmities. It said in Psalm 103, he, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. That's all you are today. I hope you, some of you sisters have dressed up real good, and I'm glad you have. You gentlemen look pretty good in your ties and stuff. But I tell you what, Brother Hasselwald was right. We're a bunch of dressed up dust. That's all you are. A few weeks after we're dead, you'll find out we're dressed up dust. But I'm glad he does. He's touched with the feeling of our property. He's touched. Isn't that good? He's not indifferent to our problems. He doesn't put up with sin, but he forgives sin, helps us get out of sin. Now, how can he do that? Because he is at all points tempted like as we are yet without sin. That word tempt means tested. He went through everything you'll go through. He went through it as a human being. It's amazing, isn't it? Your sorrows, he knows what they're like. Your disappointments, he knows what they're like. Even to be physically tired in his humanity, he became physically tired. On the cross, he said, I thirst. He knows what you're going through. You know, we can sympathize with people when we haven't gone through something, but like, for instance, when somebody's dead, your mama dies, I can sympathize with them because my mom and daddy are gone. Now, I can't with your wife yet because my wife isn't gone. I hope she doesn't for a long time. But anyway, he's gone through what you've gone through. Yeah, without sin. So, what do we do? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy. I'm glad that word's first, aren't you? Find grace to help in time of need. Let me read you something that I read. I don't even know who wrote this, really. I forgot the guy's name. What does it mean to come boldly? What does it mean to come? We come. Now, you listen to me carefully on this, will you? Why don't you come boldly to the throne of grace? You think about this. Remember what I'm telling you. Here's how you pray. Ready? Don't forget this now. You come boldly with liberty, freedom, cheerful confidence, without hesitation. I'll read it to you again. Do you pray that way? If not, you need to start praying that way. See, if you're looking at yourself, you won't do that. If you look at your worthiness, you won't, because you have no worthiness. But you have the worthiness through Jesus Christ. This week, you can start doing that. You come. Here's how you come. Liberty, freedom, cheerful confidence, without hesitation, the throne of grace. Let me read what this fellow said. Boldly is not contrasted with reverence and trembling. And though we still go, we're bold, but it's not arrogant. We still come with reverently and trembling before him, but that doesn't preclude boldness. Not in contrast with awe and godly fear. We ought to come together with awe. We don't get awe very much, do we? If we knew who we're coming to, we would be awed, and we have godly fear. But godly fear is not slavish fear. It's like, I love my daddy, but I feared my daddy because he was a man that demanded me to obey him. See? But with that confidence, which begets honesty, you need to be honest with you. You can't hide something from God. What have you done this week that's wrong? What have you looked at you shouldn't have looked at? What have you said you shouldn't have said? What kind of motive she shouldn't have had? Tell the Lord about it. With honesty, frankness, full and open speech. Pour out your heart before God. How about that for a word picture? And I'll read you in the scripture about somebody who did that. Pour out your heart before God. Come as you are. Say what you feel. Ask what you need. Confess your sins, your fears, your wandering thoughts, and affections. That's what it means to come boldly to the throne of grace. We may attain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that beautiful? Now look at two more scriptures. Now I want you to get some pictures out of this. The throne of grace, the throne room of heaven, you're coming to because you have the invitation, and you come boldly because you belong there. It's an invitation God's given you. Are you taking advantage of that? And before I forget this, let me make another point. I heard old R.C. Sproul speak on this week, and I'm kind of providential that I heard him. He said what prayer is communication with our husband, because we're the bride of Christ and we're his children. He said every time I've ever had people come to me with a marriage problem, there's been a communication breakdown. As long as husband and wife can communicate, there won't be a real serious breakdown. He said every time I've seen a child of God get in trouble, they have broken communication with their husband, Jesus Christ. Are you communicating with him? Are you communicating with him? He is our husband. We are collectively his bride. Are we communicating with our husband? Are we talking to him in prayer and listening to him talk to us in his holy word? Communication. Isn't that beautiful? All right, let me read you two more places now. I want you to get these word pictures. This is a great word picture here. These are both in the Ephesian letter. I'm going to read the two to you and then make some comments. I'm encouraging you to pray. Ephesians 2:18. For through him, that is through Jesus Christ. See, you're going to find the Trinity is involved in prayer. For through him, we both, that is Jew and Gentile, through him, that is Jesus, we have access. I'm going to talk about access in a minute. By one Spirit unto the Father. That you got through him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you get this Holy Ghost, and you get the Father. Isn't that wonderful verse? You have access. Now let's look at another verse before I read about access. In whom, that is in Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 3:12. The first one was Ephesians 2:18. This one is Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Well, what a verse. What a verse. Y'all roll that around a little bit this week. In whom, that is in Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, access is a powerful word. Let me read you a little bit. I did some great studying this week. I had more fun than the Battle of Monkeys in my Greek books. The Holy Ghost is the one who inspired the Bible in the Greek, and it's a wonderful to go to the original language. That word is prosagoge, literally to lead to. But let me tell you what it means. This is access you have to the throne of grace. It's an introduction. Some people even think talking about Jesus Christ is taking us and introducing us to the Father, which that's fine with me. You probably did talk about that. When I come to prayer, it says that Christ is saying, Father, here's my child, here's my friend, old Zach Guest, listen to him, give him a hearing. Isn't that good? Freedom to enter through the assistance of another. Freedom to enter through the assistance of another. And in classical Greek, not New Testament Greek, but classical Greek is similar, the approach, access to a person, especially to a king's presence. Isn't that beautiful? Because he's the king. So we have access through Jesus Christ, comes the throne of grace. That ought to make you feel good. That ought to make you come to him. You have a right, a privilege. I'm encouraging you to pray. You read those verses. Ephesians 2:18 and 3:12, you have access, an introduction, openness, assistance through the Lord Jesus Christ to come to God the Father. These are earth-shattering truths. Now, let me give you another word picture. This is absolutely amazing. When Jesus Christ did die, in Mark 15:38, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, the top to the bottom. That's an amazing event. That temple veil, they claimed, that was between the holy place and the most holy place. The holy place was holy. The most holy place was most holy. The inner sanctum, which represents heaven. The book of Hebrews says that. There's a veil between the two. The only one could go in the veil, through the veil, or past the veil, once a year, the high priest could go through only on the Day of Atonement. Pretty limited, right? When Jesus Christ died, my friend, that veil of the temple, which the scholars say that thing was 40 feet high and really thick, and that thing was rent in two from the top to the bottom. You know what that signified? I know the Old Testament saints could pray. I know they could pray. But my friend, we can even pray better. What that represents, I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 10 in a minute, that represented the fact the way to the holiest is open to all his children because Jesus Christ, when he died, that veil was rent in twain. Isn't that beautiful? It's just like, okay, you're standing before the holy place. I can't get in there. There's a veil there. But the veil is rent in twain. That means you have the freedom to come to God Almighty. Let me read you some scripture. You ought to get these down also. These are great scriptures. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. This is majestic language. Listen to this. Listen, folks, this is the Bible I'm reading to you today. I'm not making this up. I'm not giving you a speech today, a motivational speech. I'm not interested in motivational speeches. I'm not trying to stir your emotions up by oratory, because I'm not an orator anyway. If I were, I wouldn't want to do it. I'm reading you the Word of God. This is God's holy Word I'm reading to you. If you get a hold of this, it'll help your prayer life out. Sometimes we run into God's presence too quick. We just run on in there. Why don't you get some scriptures like this in mind before you go in there, see if it won't help your prayer life out. See what you're really doing. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The holiest. Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Isn't that a good concept? Draw near to God. Sometimes people feel so far away from God. Draw near with a true heart in the full assurance, and that word means entire confidence, of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. I'm going to read that whole thing again. Ready? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let's draw near, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. Let me give you a few more scriptures to encourage you to pray. You think God likes to hear your prayers? Do you like to hear your kids talk, little bitty kids? I like to hear my little kids talk when they were little bitty. I still like to hear them. It's more fun than a little bitty. I used to get the kids to say the same thing over and over again. You wait and see. It's going to be more fun. I always try to get them to say, I try to get my grandkids to say Papa first. They usually don't, but I'm working on them. I love that, Papa, Papa. How about God? Abba, Abba, Abba. Have you ever done that? Climb to his lap, say, Lord, I'm Abba. You're my Papa. I need some help. God's Word said you can do that. Romans 8 said you can do that. And Galatians 4 said you can do that. The Holy Ghost come to your heart. Abba, Father. Papa, I need some help. Yes, God loves to hear the prayer of his children. I'm going to prove it to you. Look, the devil's a liar, see? He's a liar. He said, no, he don't hear you. You're boring him. You're wearing him out. You can't wear him out. You can't wear him out. Over in, this is over in Proverbs 15:8. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord. The prayer of the upright is his delight. I looked that Hebrew word up here. It's translated other ways in the Old Testament. Favor, good pleasure, acceptable. Let's look at that again. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Favor, good pleasure, acceptable. He loves to hear the prayers of his children. I can't prove this, but I kind of think sometimes God wants to hear you, and so you're not praying. He said, I've got to let something bad happen to them because I want to hear them pray again. I don't know whether God does that or not. I don't know. But he loved to hear the prayer of his children. He loved to hear the prayer of his children. That's you, if you're his child. Sir, yeah. Messed up, yeah. Wretched man like Paul, yes. Throw sin in and out, sure. Basket case, what are we but basket cases? Full of trouble, sure full of trouble. He likes to hear the prayer of his children. It's his delight. It's his delight to hear the prayer of his children. That's what God's Word says. All right, another word picture. Psalm 141, verse 2. They used to have a morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, plus other times. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. And so your prayer is a sacrifice to God. You don't have animals anymore to do, like in the Old Testament. We don't bring lambs and oxen and things like that anymore. Meat offering, nothing kind of offering like that. So when we come to him, what do we bring? One thing we bring is prayer. It's a sacrifice to God. So you need to do the best you can because God likes it when you give him your best. He likes it when you give him your best. See, he will not put up with a three-legged sheep. He will not put up with a sheep that had a blemish on it. You need to give him your best. I know it's okay to shoot an arrow up to heaven. I shoot them up all the time. Shoot one up all the time. But let there be some time in the day you're not just shooting arrows up. You're spending time with God. How do you like it if your wife was so busy she didn't have any time for you? Honey, I'm so busy with the kids and doing this and that and other. I don't even have 5 minutes to sit down and talk to you today. We was kind of past the light. Some of y'all probably at that stage right there. Don't feel too bad. You get over it. I know how it goes. We raised 11 of them. But I tell you what, my friend, God deserves some time. He deserves some time. I remember one time I had a great experience on the Red River up at Heber Springs, Arkansas. My wife and I raised all these kids, and we didn't hardly know each other anymore. We had a good marriage, don't get me wrong. But I had an experience, I'll never forget this, long as I have a sound mind. We were up there at the Red River, the gravel up there, and we had a quilt out there, and we sit there, and we began to talk, and you know what I did? Two or three hours, I got reacquainted with my wife. And I still remember that. I love my wife. We had a ball talking. We need to sit about a Red River with God sometimes. Spend some time with him. Don't we? Do you do it or not? How busy are you? Kids turn their stinking iPhones off every now and then. Turn them off. I like it too. Turn them off sometimes. Be still, know that I'm God. God, I'm so serious about you. Lord, I'll give you some undivided attention. Start out a little bit. You can't do it all at once. It'll grow on you. It'll grow on you. And you want to do more. One of the worst enemies we have is being too busy, too occupied. And information, glut of information. It'd be better to have a little bit of information and use it right than have a whole bunch of information that you just like a spinning your wheels. Let me read the scripture to you. Get the glorious word picture, Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands, at the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer, David said, be set before thee as incense. God, because the Lord loved that incense off the incense altar. It's a sweet smell, it's a sweet smell of him when you come in him prayer. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands, and the evening sacrifice. I say the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, both. Do that. Now, I'm going to take you to heaven. Let's go to heaven for a few minutes. You want to? You think our prayers get to heaven? Sure they do. You think they go to heaven? Not in high the roof over my head, people say. That's not true. Our prayers go to heaven, folks. I'm proof to you. Let's go over Revelation, two places. Chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, I almost like to preach on that, but I won't. I better not do that. I go down a rabbit trail and forget what I'm talking about. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. The sweet smelling odors of the prayers of the saints of God Almighty come before his throne. Don't tell me he's not hearing prayer. Don't tell me he's not hearing prayer. God's word says right here that our prayers like these sweet smelling odors coming before God Almighty's throne. That's what it says. And look over Revelation chapter 8 now. And verse 3. This is heaven. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense. I'll talk about the incense. Sometimes in the fifth chapter, the prayer of incense. And this time it's the fragrance of Christ going with our prayers, which is really the same. Let me read that to you. Because your prayer wouldn't get up there if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Another angel came. This is Revelation 8:3. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There was given to him much incense. He should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. He's offering the incense with the prayers of the saints. What's that incense? Ephesians 5 tells us what it is. Ephesians 5 verse 2. What's that incense? Here my prayers are coming up before God Almighty, but they've got to have the incense going with them. What's that incense? Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love as Christ also loved us, has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Jesus, God Almighty, well pleased his Son. It's a sweet-smelling savour what he did. So his sacrificial life and death, my friend, come before God Almighty with the prayer of all the saints, and God's going to hear our prayers. And God smiles. They smell good. They smell good to him. See, sometimes a stench comes before God. The wicked is a stench before God's nostrils. It's a terrible, disgusting stench. But my friend, God's people, when they pray to him, is a sweet-smelling servant of God Almighty. It's like he smiles when he smells this when you pray. All right, just a few more scriptures. I'll be not as long as you think I'm going to be. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 34. I'm going to give you three verses out of Psalm 34. It'd be good to memorize the whole psalm. But I love this psalm because I have a lot of trouble. I have a lot of fears. I get scared sometimes. Do you? I worry about the future sometimes. There are a lot of things I worry about sometimes. I need some help from God Almighty. I need to cry to God. Does God hear me when I cry? Well, David said he did. Psalm 34. Let's look at three verses. Verse 4, first of all. 34:4. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all my fears. You have any fears right now? Well, just cry to God Almighty. He'll deliver you from them. You may come back again, just do it again. What are you afraid of? We're all vulnerable, aren't we? We're weak. Anything can happen to us. I can let God down and mess up by sinning terribly. I hope not. I don't want to do that. So, we have health problems sometimes. We have family problems, all kinds of problems. He said, I sought the Lord. He sought him. That means that's implies some pretty serious effort to me. I sought the Lord. He heard me. He heard me. And delivered me from all my fears. Look at verse 6, 34:6. This poor man cried. You feel like a poor man? I feel like that's me. You knew I'd go live to put that in there. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. How many of them? All of them. All of them, eventually. All of them. Sometimes they escape us death. But lots of times, before death, lots of times he delivers us. We think we can't possibly deliver. He knows how to do it. He loves to do that. I'll read verse 15 in a minute, but I'll think about Psalm 40. I cry to the Lord, he got me out of a deep pit, out of a miry clay, a horrible pit, he said. It's like quicksand he's in. And he got me out of there, he put my feet on a rock, and established my going. Isn't that something? You feel like sometimes you're sinking? And in quicksand, they say the harder you try to get out, the deeper you go. So you're trapped, it's a mess. You can't get out by yourself. Somebody's got to reach down and get you out of that quicksand. Some of you probably in a little sand right now, I don't know. We get into it every now and then. God's the one we cry. He gets us out of the sand, my friend, by himself. Look at verse 15. This is 34:15. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. His eyes are on you. You said, nobody sees me. Nobody sees my trouble. Yes, somebody does. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cries. Isn't that great? All right, now let's talk about the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. It's amazing how that works. I think that might be over in Nicaragua. I know it is. I was just in a spirit of prayer. It's hard to describe. I'm just praying. I'm groaning all the time. Groaning all the time. Sometimes it's exhausting sometimes. It's refreshing but exhausting. I knew I was helpless. I can't speak Spanish. No, hablo español. I memorized that. I got tired of the cab driver trying to talk to me. I couldn't speak Spanish. I said, God, I can talk to you. Kids, I've told you this before. Listen, you young people. Sometimes you're in church, and somebody's praying, and there's a grown person sitting next to you, maybe your mom and daddy, and you hear them making some noise. Yeah, Lord. They're groaning. They're groaning. And sometimes they don't even know what they're groaning about exactly. Sometimes we know a little bit. We get in bitterness of soul sometimes. Let me read to you from Romans 8, and then read you an example of this. Example. This is really profound. Really profound. This is Romans 8, 26 and 27. The Apostle Paul even had this infirmity of not knowing how to pray. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for if we ought. I talked to a man down in Georgia. I really like Greg. I forget his last name. Now, y'all know him. Now, what's his name, Melanie? Carter. Greg Carter. I had a big time talk to him when I was down there a few short time ago. I didn't even know Brother Greg, but I know him now. He lost a wife of dying of cancer. And he said, "Brother, I didn't know how to pray. I did not know how to pray. I prayed. Lord, am I being selfish in my prayer? Do I want her spared just for me, for your glory? Should I keep her? Should I want her to go ahead and be the Lord?" I mean, can you imagine in being in a condition like that? It would be something, wouldn't it? We'd know how to pray. So anyway, I enjoyed talking to him about that. The Holy Ghost had to help him pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray when we have a difficult situation. God, I don't know really what to pray here. If I get cancer, Lord, should I pray that I'll live a while longer? Or I don't have to pray, you know? But here's what helps us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth out in front of you. We know not what we should pray for, we all. But the Spirit itself, or himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts, that's God, knows the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's really deep. I can't explain that. Nobody can explain that, really. But it's a mysterious, glorious process. The Holy Ghost is helping us pray. Some of your best prayers, when you get to heaven, you find out maybe I just didn't realize I was doing that. Now, let me show you an example. This is a moving example over in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 through 16. 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 16. This is Hannah. You know about Hannah. Let's read a little bit here about Hannah. She wanted a baby so very badly. Very badly. And so I'll start in verse 10 here. Look at Hannah now. I think she's in one of these examples of groaning that cannot be uttered. Some of you may identify with this. She was in bitterness of soul. Have you ever been in bitterness of soul? She was in bitterness of soul. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She's crying. She's in bitterness of soul. She's weeping. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, the old priest, marked her mouth. Now Hannah was speaking her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Have you ever done that? She can't even say anything. She just moving her lips. She's in bitterness of soul. She's crying to God Almighty. Did God hear those prayers? Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. She thought she had drunk, sitting there just moving her lips, not saying anything. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Now, we don't pray that way all the time, but sometimes we do, don't we? So you take heart, folks. When you get in trouble sometimes, God's going to help you. He's going to help you. All right. Now, let's look at a prayer warrior. I wish I was this guy. I want to be this guy. I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. We hear the expression prayer warrior. It comes from Colossians 4, verses 12 and 13. Not everybody can be a prayer warrior all the time. I want everybody to improve some. I'm not asking everybody to do what I'm doing because you have freed my hand, but I also don't want to give you a free ride either. God knows what you're doing. If you're not taking part in our prayer and fasting today, you're not doing right to some degree. If you're not doing something bathing in prayer, you're not doing right. You need to improve your prayer life, and I need to improve my prayer life. So I'm not putting a guilt trip on anybody, but I'm going to say if the shoe fits, you wear it. I'm responsible for God Almighty to bring you his holy word. And we need to improve our prayer lives. But look at old Epaphras here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, Colossians 4, 12 and 13. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, I love this. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer. The Greek word is agonizomai. You know what English we get from that? Agony, agonizing. This wasn't just a little prayer, God is good and God is great, God, we thank you for this food type thing. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete of all will of God. I bear him record, he hath a great zeal for you, then they're in Laodicea, them in Hierapolis. Not only did he pray for his home church, he prayed for people he knew in other churches. Isn't that good? And we need to do that. I think you did that. So he's praying for the church at Colossae, also Hierapolis and Laodicea. He's agonizing for them in prayer because he loved them. All right. Now I'm almost through. I've got a picture of two sisters. And so we got some sisters here. And this is for brethren too. But I just love these pictures. Somehow they just touch my heart. They touch my heart because these are widow women, both of them. And they're helpless because widows are helpless, especially back in that day. And you get weak sometimes, you're helpless, right? You know what, folks? You kids don't know what it means to be helpless. Me and my boys used to cut yards and felt sorry for these old ladies who used to have these wonderful yards, couldn't keep them up anymore. They couldn't do anything, couldn't pull weeds or anything. I had an aunt that had arthritis. She couldn't even unscrew a jar. Can you open up a jar? That's my job. Open up a jar for her, Aunt Quay. You know what we're going to get before we leave this whole world? You need to watch old folks and help them, okay? But our widow women knew they were helpless. You know what they did? They knew how to pray. They knew how to pray. Let's look at two of them. Over in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. Luke 2, 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age. She was an old lady. Had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, she married only 7 years before her husband died. And she's 84 years old, we'll see in a minute. She had been a widow a long time. I don't know how long. She had a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Look at this wonderful description. It touches my heart. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Isn't that beautiful? I can just see this old lady. Why won't her pray for me? Wouldn't you? Sister Anna, I sure wish you'd pray for me. As you're serving God with fastings and prayers. Listen, you may get paralyzed someday. You may say, oh, you can't get out of your bed someday, but you can pray. Jesus Christ, my friend, went about doing good. At one time, he couldn't do good anymore because he nailed the cross. He could still pray, couldn't he? He still prayed. Some of your best prayer life may be at the end of your life. Who knows? But then I love this about the widow indeed. Now, widow indeed is a widow who did not have any family, because if she had a family, her family was obligated to take care of her. But in the early time, they didn't have welfare state like we have now. So the church had to take care of these widows indeed. So we have a great picture over here in 1 Timothy 5:5. I love this picture, just like Anna. Now, she is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I think that just touches my heart. She's desolate. She's trusting God. She continues in prayer night and day. Boy, what a powerful prayer that must have been. Now I've got two more scriptures I'm going to be through. This is encouraging to you, I hope. I'm just going to tell you where this is, because you know the scripture real well. It's over in Matthew 5, 7 through 11. Now, I'm just going to give you three words here. And I love the way the Holy Spirit writes the Bible. I just love the way he just knows how to do it. Holy Ghost just knows how to do it. Ask, ye shall receive. And that is in the present tense. Keep on asking, you'll keep on receiving. And he said, you will receive. Then he ramps it up. Seek, ye shall find. That's more than asking, isn't it? You're seeking then. Then he really ramps it up. Knock, it shall be opened to you. So you start out asking, you ramp it up a little bit, and you start seeking. Then finally you start knocking. I love a book. I never read the book, by the way, but I love the title. What's that old guy's name? William Huntington. William Huntington, this old English guy, wrote a book called The Kingdom of Heaven Taken by Prayer. I can just see in my mind this big old oak door. I don't know where it's awkward up there. I can see old Will beating on that thing until God finally opened it up. The kingdom of heaven taken by prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Ask, ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it'll be open to you. Keep on asking, keep on receiving, keep on seeking, keep on finding, keep on knocking, and keep on being open to you. Now, one more thing now, and I'm going to be through. Let's look over James for a couple of scriptures. I want to encourage you in prayer. That's what my aim is today. James chapter 1, first of all. Anybody need any wisdom around here? I need a whole carload of it. I need a whole carload of wisdom. Man, I can be just a big dummy. Well, I'll tell you what God promised me this over in James 1. You need wisdom on raising kids, wisdom in your family life, wisdom with some kind of problem you're with. Well, let's look at this in James. This ought to encourage us to pray. Chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And I mean really generously. He's real generous. And upbraideth not. He doesn't fuss at you because he doesn't say, hey, you should have come last week. He doesn't do that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given him. That's a promise. But let him act in faith, nothing wavering. He that cometh to God, let me start that verse again. But let him act in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He's just kind of coming in a half-hearted way. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is not that in all of his ways. Main bidding when you come to God. Say, Lord, I need wisdom, desperately need wisdom. I don't want to spend a little time asking for that. But he said he'd give it. Let's read that again. There's a promise. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I'm always getting mixed up with the scripture. Hebrews, while I'm stumbling. Hebrews 6:10. Anyway, 10, 11, 6. But let him act in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth, like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he received anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, one more verse. This one ought to really make you feel good. It means your prayers are going to be effective. Does prayer really work? Does prayer really work? Bringing anything to it? What about it? What do you think? After all, when you pray, what are you doing? You're talking to the air, right? You see anybody? I don't see God sitting down there. Most of the time you close your eyes. I guess it's time of maybe shutting the world out. Prayer really work? What do you think? The devil said it doesn't work. The world said it doesn't work. You know it works. You know why you know it works? I'll tell you why you know it works. He wrote his law in your heart. The same truth is in this Bible. If I preach to you, you identify with what I've told you because it's already in your heart anyway. Let the world go their way. We look not the things that are seen, the things that are not seen. The things that are said are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Solid joys and lasting treasures only Zion's children know. Blessed are your eyes for they see. Blessed are your ears for they hear. Okay, ready for this? This ought to make you go and pray this week. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.